Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon. In studio with us is Heidi Kroner. She is the founder of something called Literacy Lifeline. We're going to find out more about that and what the heck she's doing in our studio in just a moment. Welcome to the News Hour, Heidi. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Tell us what Literacy Lifeline is.
Well, Literacy Lifeline is a charity that I founded this year, this summer, actually. Oh, yeah, I'm brand new. The charity's brand new, and it's for raising money for kids who cannot afford dyslexia therapy. Dyslexia is a reading condition that causes kids to have trouble learning to read, write, and spell. It's biological, so it's the way their brain is wired. They read with the right side of their brain instead of the left side of the brain. And
You just taught me something.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that I read from my left side of the brain.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah,
okay.
We have three centers in the left side of our brain. And
see what you learn here?
The old adage that are you left-brained or right-brained is kind of the early science. They were trying to figure out what was going on there. And so people can be more right-brained. Your right brain can be a little bit bigger than your left side, especially if you're dyslexic. And kids who are wired this way, you're born this way, they can identify it as early as, you know, the minute you come out of the womb.
Really?
Yeah. And
I imagine early detection on something like this really does help the child overcome some of these issues.
It does. In fact, Literacy Lifeline is the third organization I've started in regards to dyslexia. I started a parent advocacy group with about 12 other people 4 years ago. We now have over 2,000 people who follow us on Facebook and are very active in the state. With that parent advocacy group, we had filled up all the dyslexia tutors in the whole state of Iowa. So then me and three mothers started True Potential Education, which is a dyslexia learning center out in West Des Moines. And there we tutor about 100 kids a week, mostly from the suburbs. But
this has all turned into a full-time gig for you, hasn't it?
Oh, God, more than that, actually. And so then this summer when all kinds of different things were happening in my life and I needed to spend more time at home, I decided to take my investment from True Potential and invest it in Literacy Lifeline. And so Literacy Lifeline raises scholarship money for kids who can't afford the dyslexia therapy.
Got it. Now, when we talk about dyslexia therapy, and you're obviously an expert in this, you've been doing this a long time, what does that entail?
Okay, so these kids need more repetition to learn how to read and the sounds of language than what schools typically give. And schools are set up to educate the 80% of the population that learns how to read very easily, okay? Mm-hmm. And what may take a kindergartner maybe 3 or 4 weeks to learn, it may take one of a kid with dyslexia maybe 3 months to learn.
Hmm.
So we go through the English language in a very systematic way and spend a lot more time on letter sounds and a lot more time on sounding out words and a lot more time with the patterns of spelling so that they can logically decode the language, and they just need more repetition.
I was stunned by the number of kids that have dyslexia. 1 in 5.
Yes. 20% of the population.
That's an amazing number.
It's an amazing number, but if you look at high school reading rates, 25% of kids in 2014 and 28% of high school graduates in 2015 graduated reading at a fifth grade level or below. So if you think that 20% of kids are dyslexic or have the tendency to be dyslexic, it's not very far off from that number of kids who are reading below a fifth grade level. And a dyslexic kid without intervention will never read above a fifth grade level because they're memorizing the shape of the word, they're reading with the picture side of their brain, And the most that the human mind can memorize as far as what words look like is about a fifth grade reading level. And what they found is most job applications are written at about a 12th grade reading level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we don't catch this dyslexia early on and then find ways to reconnect an individual to their reading applications, they start on a negative when they're graduating through school and can perhaps not pick up again.
Right, right. I mean, they really are.
And that's a really economic burden on the rest of society, because highly likely that these very bright individuals otherwise are going to be stuck in menial task jobs and never have the opportunity to grow and prosper.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And that's kind of how
that's scary when you say 1 in 5 kids.
And that's why we started the parent advocacy group first, because you have all these parents and, you know, you think about the 1960s, 1950s. If you weren't a good reader, you could go out and get a factory job. You could go out and work on the line at John Deere.
Jobs are disappearing.
Those jobs are disappearing. And now kids, reading is so much a part of our society now, especially with the internet. You have to read even more. Parents are panicking when their kids are not reading and picking it up as easily as they could, because they see a lot of doors shut.
One of the things, and I want to make this clear, and sometimes this gets lost in this political craziness that everybody's talking about. When we say that those jobs are disappearing, we're not necessarily talking about that they're leaving the country. What we're talking about is they're changing, that those jobs in factories are now becoming high-tech jobs because of all the high technology that's going on in stamping. I mean, it's not stamping facilities any longer. It's laser facilities and robotics and things like that that are moving people off of what had been traditionally, if you will, of automobile factory assembly line and doing other things with that. And so a higher degree of competency has to follow those types of jobs. And if we're talking about 20% of the kids facing education with dyslexia, that is a stunning number. And kudos to you for trying to do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I feel kind of almost driven to do this,
I
tell people.
So your personal reaction to this, children with dyslexia, or did you have
This is what you were mentioning earlier, that some very intelligent people can have dyslexia. So this is my first example of dyslexia. Is I had this brother, he was 2 years younger than me. So I have a tricycle. My mom won't let us buy a big wheel. I must be about 5 or 6 because I'm still riding a tricycle, you know. Mm-hmm. And one day I come out and my tricycle has been taken apart and it's now like this low rider big wheel kind of thing. And so my 3-year-old brother gotten into my dad's tools. Mom went and buy a big wheel and he made my tricycle into a big wheel. So in your head, you're like, well, that's really annoying, but my brother is a genius because who could do that?
3 years old.
Yeah. And later on, he was one of those kids who'd pick, you know, lawnmowers out of people's garbage. Pretty soon they'd be running. My dad would make him give them back. So, you know, I'm like 3rd grade and my brother's in 1st grade. He comes home with his little reader and my mom's in there saying, now, don't you make fun out of Bill. He can't read very well. I don't know why, but you know how smart he is. And so that was ingrained in my head that Bill's going to not read as well for whatever reason, but he's my genius brother. And even in high school, my mom was still reading him his textbooks.
Yeah.
And it took him 8 years to get through engineering school, but he did it. He had restored a Camaro, 67 Camaro. That thing still gets first place prizes anywhere he takes it. He did it in high school. And so there I grew up with that person who was very smart.
So that's exactly what we were talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And had he gotten the training or the help early on, it may not have taken him 8 years to get through engineering school. Duh.
Right?
All right, we're into this. So you've got a special fundraiser going on to help the Literacy Lifeline. Tell us about that.
Okay. So I have another brother who's an artist, and he's a graphic designer out in New York City, and he's been making these iMessage stickers for the Apple iStore.
Emojis.
Yeah. And I said, hey, could you make me some of those with the dyslexia font? Because he was selling his for $1 on the Apple app store. I said, we could sell ours for $2 and you could get your programming money out of it. And then we could donate the rest to scholarships for dyslexia. And he said, sure, I'll do that. So he made me 12 or 13. They're for sale right now in the app store. And if you have the current update on your Apple iPhone, you can purchase them for $1.99, and a dollar goes towards scholarships for kids.
Very cool. All right. So it's kind of a hot thing, too, because it's emojis and people can kind of get into that. So your target audience necessarily isn't a senior citizen, but it would obviously be others that utilize emojis. And then, yeah, why not? And so you're going to use them anyway. Why not do something good with money? Fun. How fun. Heidi Kroner is her name, and she is with Literacy Lifeline, an opportunity for individuals to get scholarships so that they can afford to get the treatment that they so desperately need because they may be suffering from dyslexia. Good stuff, Heidi. And congratulations. You are a serial entrepreneur.
I did not think I would ever do that, but I have.
But you have. you have done that. And just a brand new piece of work as well. We will have links to all of this on the radio blog, so you'll be able to find out more about the Literacy Lifeline as well as the work that they do. And we'll get you hooked up with some of those emojis as well. Thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
right. Michael. Heidi Kroner, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we will tell you what happened today on the stock market. I can tell you this. Investors were looking for the jobs report tomorrow. That does have an impact. That's the top of the story when we look at the Wall Street Report next.